Welcome to the Orlando Lions Den Podcast. Your number one Orlando City podcast. For the fans, by the fans. For the fans, by the fans. Keeping you in the know on all things Orlando City since 2018.
Hello, hello, welcome back to another edition of the Orlando Lions Den. It's your boy Mike here. I got my homies. I got Alex back in the building. Alex, how we doing, man?
It's good to be back. Missed you guys. Missed the sound of your voices. Just glad to be on. Glad to talk Orlando City soccer. It's been a minute. We'll talk about that at the end, but I'm looking forward to seeing what the team can pull back, because we got to pull back. So
that's true. There is work to be done. Good to have you back, man. Obviously, we talked about what happened last week before the bye week. We did that a week ago, so we're just going to be previewing this week. But we also got my man Cleon here. Cleon, how's the training going, man? How you doing? You getting fast? Man. You getting speedy?
Man, I can't lie. I was going for it. I had to stop a little bit. I had to get a little mouth surgery, and then I ain't been picking it back up, man. I think I'm falling back a little bit. I'm getting a little nervous, and now it's April already, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm halfway there to the.
I'm moving in November, man. You got to get it done.
I know. I ain't got too much time left.
Got about 6 months to go.
I thought that was a full year.
It was supposed to be, but it's. I was saying, let's call it an Orlando City year, not a full year.
Ah.
I feel like you're making me feel like my $100 is safe, which I already knew, but
today right now, I woke up feeling like it might be a little safe for you, but tomorrow I think I'll feel a little stronger, so we'll see.
The funniest thing about that too is that I told him, I was like, yeah, I can only bet $100 with getting ready to move this year, and he's like, I would have accepted it for $20, and I was like, damn, I'm like I could have saved some money on this. Like, I didn't have to.
it wasn't even about the money. It's the principle. It's principality.
Of course, I'm always going to respect a man that going to go up for the principles there. So you got that. All right. Well, quick, pay the bills. Not that they actually pay the bills for us, but we're going to go ahead and pretend that they do. Sponsors, Field Turf USA, the only one I don't got a screen for. Field Turf USA, obviously taking care of all the different pitches. They got that little side strip of Orlando City. They got that pitch up in Atlanta, a bunch of pitches across the US and around the world. Field Turf USA, shout out to Field Turf Chris. Let us go to the next Atlanta game, please. Cleon wants his box back.
you'll get a little screen like everybody else does when you get my tickets back. I don't know how long my ban is for after that last incident. Like, I don't understand.
Read the bar.
Then we'll go ahead and go to Leo over with the Epic Mortgage team, powered by U Mortgage. Anything as far as your lending needs, feel free to go ahead and get in contact with Leo. Whether it just be questions or refinance, anything like that, Leo is your man. As we know, rates and stuff are crazy this time of year, or in this current economy, whatever. I know I tried to look into buying a house and it got crazy for a little bit, so then we decided now we're just going to go ahead and move far away instead. But if you have any questions, on the screen there you can go ahead and find Leo's information. And then next, our man Eddie with Comparian Insurance. Especially being in the state of Florida, insurance rates are all over the place. Eddie is going to help you find the best rates possible for you. And he's also not going to feel like, you know, pressure you into a certain situation. He's always going to shoot straight with you and get you the best deal, whether it be home, auto, life, pet, Apple Watch. He's got insurance for everything. He's got y'all taken care of. And then lastly, Fubo TV. If you need to go ahead and get your sport watching fix, use the QR code on the screen or the link in the description to go ahead and sign up for Fubo TV. Got tons of soccer on there. from pretty much any league that you could imagine. Apparently, they just cut ties with SNY, which carries my Mets games. So that's a little bit of a bummer. But realistically, the Mets suck. You don't want to watch them anyways. And that's part of being a Mets fan, is being able to admit that that is the ultimate truth, is that we are a terrible
team. The character.
Exactly. That's telling you, dude, that one TikTok is perfectly right. What's the best part about being a Mets fan is that it's such a miserable franchise that it helps you build character for the rest of your life. And then if that's the best part, what's the worst part? May through September.
May through September.
So, yep, Fubo TV for all your sports needs. They got great packages on there. And as far as soccer goes, everything not MLS related, they're going to have a ton of it available for you there. So shout out to Fubo TV. Well, we were on a bye week last week, so we really don't have to talk about anything that happened, whether it be good, bad, or indifferent. So let's go ahead and take the time to just talk about what we got coming up. Guys, next game on the docket, we have DC United away. DC United is now coached by Troy Lesane, who was the guy in charge of Red Bulls to end the season last year. Obviously, they got Christian Benteke. We know that that's going to be a guy who could score some goals against us. Mateus Klich, former Leeds player. They got some names, and right now they've been a pretty fun team to watch. I don't know how to feel about this, because I feel like DC United was a bogey team for us the past couple years.
Yeah.
And it's definitely, this is going to be an interesting game because we've had 2 weeks off. We have been in a team that has been struggling. It seems like the team has been doing some team building. I'm pretty sure Robin Johnson posted a picture today of them going go-karting together. So hopefully he doesn't have road rage like he has rage on the pitch. You know what I'm talking about. But this is a game coming up that I feel like we really need to have some kind of response to figure out, you know, what's, you know, see where we're at. And I don't know, Alex, let's go to you first. What are your thoughts going in off of this bye week and going into the game against DC?
Well, we won't talk about the bye week because that's for later, but DC has been, we haven't had good luck against them. We haven't won against them since May of 2021. October. Sorry. We've had some. Say that.
We haven't beat them since 21.
Yeah.
DC.
Yep.
And they've been horrible. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I mean, we tied them last year and drew them last year, I'm pretty sure. So
we beat them October 2nd, 2021. We beat them October 2nd, 2021, 5-3 beating 2022, July 4th, which not great. July 31st, they beat us 1-1 draw last year, March 11th. April 22nd, they beat us, and now we got this. So we got to beat these guys. I don't know if this club can beat them. They're an interesting team, like Mike said. It's going to be an interesting match. It's going to be one of the marquee matches for MLS on this weekend, and we have to show out. We have to get a result. We have to show that the team is not washed out. We're not having issues. The issues that people think we're having are not prevalent. Gotta show out.
That is very true. We do. Currently, they're sitting on 10 points so far through 7 games. So one more game played than us, but obviously 5 more points than we have, scoring more goals than we are. Cleon, how are you feeling about this game?
Man, I don't even know what to think about this team anymore, honestly, man. Like, I can't even look at a game on. I can't look at a game anymore and be like, oh, this is a win. This looks good on paper, and it's. I don't know what's wrong with us, man. Like, I don't know what lineup we should be playing. I don't know what. I don't know who's to blame. I don't know. Like, this is crazy, man. Like, this, we're like, we're in shambles. We're in shambles, bro. So I'm like, and then I'm hearing we, even when we are good, we weren't beating DC. So now I'm really scared. Because coming into that, I didn't realize it'd been that long. I knew we lose to them a lot more than we should, but I didn't realize we hadn't beat them since 21. Like, that's crazy. But I don't know, man. They look better, and they look better this year. And Lloyd got a little pop in that offense too, and we've been giving away goals for fun. And now we can't score anything. This is scary for me. This is scary for me because if we don't get this, then where do we go?
And that's one of the things we were going to talk about a little bit later. And this is, you know, this is, we don't have any midweek games really coming up over the next 5 weeks. You know, we have five games across 5 weeks. There's a little bit of a spread to all of the games coming up.
But they're not easy teams, and especially towards the end.
Yeah. I mean, so we have at DC, then we have away to Montreal, who we already played this season. We have Toronto at home, who has been much better than they were last year. We have Cincy at home, who is still, Supporter Shield favorite. And then we have away to Philly, who is Philly, you know, I don't have to give much of an intro to Philly. For me, realistically, it's the DC and these two Canadian games. Like, there's gotta be results. There's has to be. That's where we're at. There can't be any kind of excuses or anything anymore.
We need multiple results at this point, bro.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Realistically, those three games all have to be results. We're past the point of, you know, being like, oh, things are going to turn around. Like, it's no. We had a week off to go ahead and try and team build and settle in on a formation and get things sorted. I need to start seeing progress now. I need to see all things coming together. We should have a healthy Cesar. Cesar and Wilder should both be back in the midfield together. I don't think that should be any question. Those are the two guys. Those guys need to be back. For me, I want to see Martin Ojeda play the 10, Facundo on the wings, Angulo on the other wings, and then either, whether it's Muriel or Duncan up top, go back to the bread and butter of the 4-2-3-1, the double pivot in the midfield, and this time instead of Nico Ladero at the 10, put Martin Ojeda at the 10. I think that's part of what the issue we're running into, at least this is my take on it, is we have too many players that we're trying to occupy the same space as each other, whether it be Facundo Torres, whether it be Angulo, whether it be Ojeda, whether it be Muriel. They were all playing on top of each other. Like, there wasn't like defined positions, and because of that, they were just, their pass map was just all like the center of the field. Like, there was no width. So I think that's really what they need to have spent this past 2 weeks trying to figure out, is the best way to utilize as much talent as possible on the field at the same time.
You know what's crazy with that?
All of it.
We're saying everything's through the center and nothing's through the side. It's crazy because our problem's always been the opposite. So everything was coming down the wings and nothing goes through the middle. There's no threat at all down the middle. Now everybody's trying to go down the middle. It's like we can never just find a balance, bro. And it's like, it's always too much of one thing.
And one more.
Much of everything's outside. Nobody's, nothing, no danger in the center. And now it's all, everyone's trying to go straight down and nothing from the wings.
And when we're depending on Thor Carlson to go down the wings, he can do it, but he needs help.
Yeah, and because the issue with, like, I love Dagger Dan. I'm a big Dagger Dan stan, but he's not great at taking on players one-on-one. Like, exactly. that's his biggest fault. So if he doesn't end up if he gets caught in a situation where he's got to either try and take someone one-on-one or perhaps even two-on-one, if he doesn't have that outlet pass, we're losing possession. That's just what it is, you know? So I agree. And the thing that I will kind of counter Cleon with a little bit, and this isn't even much of a counter because it's still just going to be a dig to us realistically, is that now that it seems like there's a lot more of things trying to drive through the center, it's still just not leading to quality chance creation. Like, it's just, it seems like there's much more congestion towards the center of the pitch rather than the wings, and there's just nothing being done with it. So, like, I listen to Extra Time, you know, the league syndicated podcast, and there's a couple questions about, like, talking about, like, production and whatnot and what Orlando has to do. I think it was John Rollins who asked about it. And they ended up pulling a number that I thought was kind of fascinating, and I'm curious your guys' thoughts on it. And it was basically looking at what the deficit is between expected goals and non-penalty goals scored. So we've got four non-penalty goals this year, which is bad. For those at home that don't know, four goals is not good. We had 8.8 expected goals, which means we are at a negative 4.8 deficit of what our expectations were compared to what we've accomplished. And that is the worst in the league. And then when it comes to on the defensive side of things, I wanted to take a look at that too. So a non-penalty goals allowed is at 10, and non-penalty expected goals is at 7.2. So we've given out 2.8 more goals than we realistically should have, while also scoring 4.8 goals less than we were expected to as well. That plus 2.8 on the defensive side is third worst in the league. We're behind San Jose and Colorado. So, like, it's one of those things. I know that we're harping on the offense because the offense has been doing absolutely nothing, but the defense has also been kind of a crap show too. And I know a lot of that gets inflamed because of the fact that we got, you know, absolutely rocked by Miami. But, you know, it's just one of those things, man. It's hard to look at these kind of numbers and just not feel frustrated. I don't know if Cleon or Alex, if either of you have an opinion on those stats, aside from the fact that just, yeah, no, that sounds right.
It's that frustrating. Sounds right to me. Go, Cleon.
No, go ahead. I was done.
It's frustrating to see us with a new center back and Percalo that we're expecting to be the end all be all, and he's not showing up. Like, don't get me wrong, we've had scheduling issues, we've had the CCC. We got to give him time, but at the same time, we need results. And the defending, the fact that Pedro has not shown up either is something that people, we've talked about it a little bit. I haven't been on for a little bit, but it's something that he needs to stand up. He needs to help the defense, help the back line, manage these players, manage what's going on, and get it done. And our captain now is Jansen. And there's been a lot of calls on him because he's a hothead. He's not the previous captains we've had who have been midfielders, who have been cool heads.
Except for Nani.
No, that's fair. That's a fair show. Hothead Nani was a lot of fun to see, but you want to see that in an offensive player. But Jansen as a defender, Jansen hasn't had any bad matches as a defender for us this year, as opposed to Nani. But we need to see something. We need to see something different. We need to... I'm not a coach. I'm not even a pundit. I'm a fan. It's been frustrating to watch the last couple of weeks and see us give up some of these easy goals and then see our players argue or lose their heads, and Jansen's right there arguing with the ref. You got to manage the team. You got to manage what's going on. So...
the only thing that I'm going to push back on, Jan, go ahead, Cleon. I'll let you go first because I feel like you're going to say the same thing that I was going to say.
I probably am. I was waiting because when you said he hadn't shown up, I thought you meant like literally. Which
no, he's been there
on the court. I mean, no, he hasn't been on the field. he hasn't been on the field. I thought he's been good when he's on. It's just he's never on.
Yeah, because if you look at it, I took a look at his numbers.
Or if it's just Oscar sitting him or what, but he hasn't really played.
Yeah, like I took a look at his numbers. He played both games against Tigres, but in the league, he only played against Montreal in the season opener. He played against Atlanta when we got that game where we got rocked. And then he played 1 minute off the bench against the Red Bulls.
He hasn't been on at all.
He's so, you know, three games and one of those games being only 1 minute of playtime. He definitely needs to be on the field more. And I think that hopefully, again, this time off, whether there be any kind of injuries that may have been being nursed because he in and out of international duty and when he got here, hopefully that's time for him to go ahead and recover, because I think we all would like to see him on the field over Rodrigo Schlegel. We at least want to, at least he needs to have a chance to be on the field in ahead
of Rodrigo. Are we talking Janssen or Brakalo?
Brakalo.
Brakalo. Janssen's been there all season.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, no, you started off talking about Brakalo not being on the field.
Yeah, but I was talking about Janssen as the captain.
Before that.
Yeah, we were talking about before that.
Okay.
We let you ramble, so we had to pull you back in at the end.
It's been a month I rambled.
There's no issue with it at all. So I guess in that case, let's go ahead and talk predictions. What are we thinking against DC? Alex, I'll go to you first because Cleon's just nodding his head like he's got no idea.
I think it's a 2-2 draw. I don't think we get a win out of this. I think we can get a result, but away with a confused team, 2-2 draw. I think Facundo comes back and gets something, and I'm going to give the other goal to Duncan.
All right. Cleon?
I don't know. For me, I feel like we got two goals, we're winning. Because we haven't come close to even getting one goal, so let alone two. So if we were to get two, I feel like we're going to be playing well and we're going to win. But do I have faith in us getting two? Absolutely not. Right now, it looks like we can't score a single goal. We're like, it's almost like did for me or somebody, you know, playoffs. I just want to win a game. Shoot, at this point, I don't even know if I need to win a game. I just want to see at least a goal. Like, we can't do anything out there, bro. It's like we're not even close. So it's like, for me, I see two goals. I feel like we're going to win. I don't know if I have any faith that we're going to, though. And I mean, unless they're going to score for us. And so it's I don't know, man. And then they got Benteke, and he's going crazy. And I don't know, man. This could be another bad one, man. And we ain't beat them since 21. I mean, but you know me, I'm a numbers guy, so I'm like, that means we're due. But hell, we've been due to win the games. We've been due to win for a minute, and we're not doing it. So, I mean, I don't know, man. 3-1 loss.
Oof. You got to remember, though, we just won a couple weeks ago.
And that one was
Austin, bro, on shorthand, but it's Benteke. Benteke's not a young pup. He's not playing at Liverpool anymore.
And that one was an own goal. That one was an own goal, too.
We'll see.
I am going to be forever the optimist and keep it that way. I'm going to go Cardiac Cats 2-1. And I'm going to go ahead and get an Ojeda goal. And Muriel's going to get his first off the bench because Duncan is still going to start.
So Duncan, wait, are both of those going to be off the bench? Because I don't know if I'll be starting Ojeda.
I'm going to go ahead and transition.
Save that for later.
I'm transitioning into our next segment then, okay. Which is we asked because of the fact that realistically we already reviewed last week's game or 2 weeks ago game. We didn't have anything to review from the bye week. So we asked some Twitter questions from some of our followers to ask, you know, things for us to talk about. So that way this show isn't 25 minutes, which is where we're at right now. So one of the things that came in from Derek And I'm bringing up the actual question. What color pen should Martin Ojeda's name be written into the starting 11 lineup card every game for the rest of the year? And then he also said, not in any way, shape, or form, doing this to defame Lodeiro. I think that's pretty simple. Lodeiro should be on the bench and should be a sub coming in. Martin Ojeda should be playing the 10. Facundo Torres is not a creator. He is good combining on the wings. But he is not someone who is going to create chances with the final pass. Martin Ojeda can do that. And for me, he should be starting at the 10. Alex, you raised your hand first. So I'll let you go ahead and take the floor.
After Alex, I got something on that too.
I don't think this question should have been about color of pen. It should have been pen or pencil. And Ojeda should be written in ink, and everyone else, Nico, Facundo, should have been written in pencil, because he, like you said, Mike, he creates the chances. He's looking better. I don't have the stats for when he's playing, but we look better when he's on the pitch. And that's the simple truth of it.
Cleon?
Now, for me, I agree with 99% of what you said. The one thing that I'm not too sure of is, yes, Ojeda's a creator, but it seems like almost everything he creates, I don't know if that's because he's always over there or what, but I've hardly ever seen him create through the middle, though. It seems like everything he does, where he drops things on a dime or makes things dangerous, is from out wide. And from out left, out wide, where, you know, Angulo is, who seems to be written in pen. So he's not coming out.
Yeah, but that's what happens when you have something on the coach.
It seems like almost every dangerous thing he's done a lot of danger in his little minutes that he's gotten since last year through now. But almost everything comes from wide. So I'm not saying he can't do it centrally, but I'm not too sure he can, because I haven't actually seen it.
Do you think they need to structure better with Ojeda out wide and Facundo staying central? Because Facundo has a tendency to drift wherever he thinks he's needed. And does Oscar need to say, hey, Facundo, stay within these bounds? Is that something that needs to happen?
I think just because you mentioned that, and I mentioned it earlier, if you pass maps in some of our recent games, I think there's too much free reign given to some of these players for where they're at.
Like, one of them, though.
But that's the thing, is like looking at the pass map of Muriel, Facundo, Ojeda, and Angulo, and them all looking like they're on top of each other, like, clearly they're not playing in positions that they're supposed to be in. Like, they're not at the parts of the field where realistically it's going to be advantageous. So I think that there needs to be some structure to make that kind of stuff better. I don't know what the answers are realistically, but I do agree that it seems like there's, I don't know, it's not working right now. That's clearly evident.
And the problem with Muriel is, and this was talked about a lot, I did listen while I was away, Muriel doesn't go forward enough, and that's the kind of player he is. He's put out there to be the second striker that's playing back. He's not going to go all the way to the box like we're used to with DK or Duncan. Duncan's going to be on the box. He's going to be sitting on the goalie. And Muriel doesn't do that.
And see, that's the thing too, man, is we were kind of expecting him to be more of that second striker role. He's not even doing that. They got him playing pure 10. Like, it's not even second striker. And it's just confusing, honestly. Like, it's not like I'm saying he can't play it, but like, it's definitely not like the most, the best way to use his skill set, in my opinion.
But you think that's coaching or just how he's integrating with the current lineup we have?
I mean, they're telling him what to do, aren't they?
I would hope so, but watching it on the screen, it doesn't look like that.
I've said it already. Muriel is a guy we already had here. I'm not talking about the injuries, but on the field, on the pitch, the way he plays, he's Pato. And he plays up top exactly how Pato used to play.
Where he and always Pato didn't exactly have always a great outing.
Well, he drove us when he was on. He's just he was never on. But yeah, when he was on and he was remember when he finally when Oscar finally figured out how to use Pato before he got inevitably injured as usual, and took us through. People forget Pato was a catalyst through that Open Cup run, right up into the front before he got hurt. That when we made that switch, remember we were struggling, and it seems like a constant thing with us. We struggle in the beginning, and it takes Oscar a while, like 10, 15 games to figure it out, to figure out how to attack correctly. But normally the defense isn't struggling as well. Normally at least he's got one of them going. But right now he's got none of them going. But remember, that's when we had that switch then to where he slid Pato back into the 10, basically into the second strike, not a 10 like creator 10, but more of a, you know, second striker attacking 10. And that's pretty much what drove us before. I don't think the way Mir, that's the way he plays. Even if you go look back in his tape, that's you see him back there a lot. He seems like he usually got forward a lot more than he's doing here, mind you. But the guy drops. He drops way back. So the 10 might be the spot for him. The only problem is, you know, he's gonna the same thing Oscar had with Pato. He's, you know, Miro's not gonna put in that defensive shift.
He ain't back. Gonna be. He's not Mr. Track back.
No, he's not doing that. Yeah. Pato wasn't doing it either, and that's why Oscar was always iffy with that. But I mean, I can't even envision it working with him as our actual nine. Like, let's say Duncan was gone like he was supposed to, right? And Miro's up top. I don't even see how this is supposed to be working, which was crazy because that was the plan, right?
Yeah, but Jack Lynn could have filled in.
I highly doubt they were going into the season planning on Jack Lynn doing anything.
It was a joke.
Oh, I got you. Well, I mean, that day, hey, people run with that one.
He looked good off the bench.
I don't know if people are serious with that. So
Jacqueline is not the second coming of Duncan McGuire or Daryl DK.
Well, you know, people didn't think Duncan was until he was. You know, I'm just saying they weren't planning for it. So it's crazy to think how they envision it working. So the guys that brought him in, you know, you're talking about Ricardo, you're talking about Muzy. They must have a vision of how it will work together. You know what I mean? So Duncan's just here because we got lucky, basically. I don't know what the vision is supposed to be. You know what I mean? It has to be there, but I just don't know what it's supposed to be, because if he's supposed to be our actual nine, how the heck are they supposed to be playing?
That's the thing, because that's you're spot on with that. Because if he's actually playing the nine and he's playing that far recessed, that's not a recipe for success. Like, he's not playing false nine; it's playing no nine. Like, it doesn't make sense at all.
It's not like you're expecting dribbles within the 18-yard box. You're expecting him to deliver the assist into the 18-yard box, and that's something that he's not doing.
Yeah.
He's had what, one, two assists, and one of them was during our CONCACAF. I mean,
to be fair, we don't score goals, so no one's gonna have assists.
Yeah, but I'm talking about
MLS can't even fib that one when you don't even score a goal.
I'm not even talking about MLS, I'm talking about CONCACAF when he had the assist against.
He had one assist in CONCACAF. That's all he's got.
Cavalry. Exactly.
Against Cavalry. Yeah.
So it's not maybe what they expected. They were expecting the who was it that always had good delivery with Clint Dempsey with Seattle?
I don't remember. The only other name that's coming to mind is Obafemi Martins, but he was not.
That's
he
it.
He was strike partner with him. He wasn't really like, I don't know.
But that's what I was going for. I'm scared that's what they were going for, is having a strike partner, and it didn't work out.
That's what I'm saying. Who's the partner for? Because Duncan's not even supposed to be here.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that
they didn't bring him in until after Duncan had come back. I know that was in the works, and
that was already going to
be a replacement. But
yeah, I think that I'm going to side more with Cleon on that. And that's the thing, is that the expectation was that Duncan was going to be gone.
Yes.
So with the fact that the expectation was that we had agreed to three different deals for him to leave, the conversations with Muriel definitely started before we knew Duncan was coming back. That's probably, you know, I don't got sources, but like it would check out that as soon as it looked like he was gone, we started reaching out to see who we could bring in. So I don't think that there was really ever the thought was we need to play these guys together. It was, we're only going to have one of them, you know, and then things changed. So
yeah, if you look at the roster, the plan has to be for Muriel to be up there by himself, which is just, I can't envision how they must have a vision in their head. They have to, right? They don't just willy-nilly just do things, right?
And at this point, with those 2 weeks off for me,
some type of vision to where Ojeda fits and Muriel fits and Nico fits, and I can't see it though. I don't know what it is.
And with these 2 weeks off for me, that this really should have been of, let's solidify what that vision is and drill it into these players' brains. Like, I'd be out there for these, maybe, at least for one of these.
Maybe not just players, though. Maybe it has to be drilled into the coaches too.
Still, wow. I'm just saying for these 2 weeks, man, I would have been running 2-a-days to make sure that everybody's got it down. Everybody, like, just figure it out. Like, at least for the 1 week, running 2-a-days to get things figured out. Like, I don't know how often they actually practice, but like, I'm just kind of sitting here. I'm like, whatever you have to do to get everybody bought in and on the same page, it needed to be done during this time period.
Especially with this being the last big stretch we have before we lose players to various summer FIFA windows. So,
yeah. All right. Well, then second question that I had was from Jimmy D. It's kind of similar question, so we might not spend too much time on it. We had a good recipe last season. I know we had congestion. But why do you think that we had so much changing of the tactics instead of just slotting in bench players and keeping the recipe? What does Ojeda have to do to not be a bench player? It seems as everyone sees his potential. So really don't need to touch that. I think we touched that second part enough. Is the man is the only person on this team that is realistically doing a lot to try and create outside of Muriel, because I feel like we've seen it glimpses of Muriel. Last game of him wasn't terrific against Red Bulls, but other than that, I feel like in other games we've seen his quality. Dude, I don't know what changed, man. I don't know if it was just like the playoff loss where it seemed like Poppy kind of reverted his tactics to back to being more pragmatic and defensive rather than the attacking team that got us into the playoffs. And then he just stuck with it after that. I don't know what changed. I don't know if you guys have any thoughts on like a tactical shift that happened.
Two things. One, he thinks Brocalo was going to be the end all be all on defense, and I don't know if we've been able to take full advantage of that yet. And two, I really think that it's what I, and Mike, you talked about this last year, talking about what Extra Time had said about having DPs on the bench and having Ojeda not out there and congestion amongst players that wanted to score. I think that's something we need to start worrying about. I don't know if that's something that Muriel has to worry about because he's not the one making attempts, but everyone else is out there thinking they're going to be the one to score. And I'm scared that we're getting a little ambitious up front. Defensively, we're not doing well, and there's problems there, but Facundo's taking shots. Even someone took a shot during the last match that just didn't make it make sense. And we have to understand that we have to feed the guys up front. We have to feed Duncan. We have to feed Morial. I don't know. It's a confusing time because we're not balancing who we have out there versus what we need to do.
You know what? On the one thing on Duncan, and it's been in my head, I haven't said it, but it's been in my head since last season, where it was like an Apple broadcast, and they said that Oscar was talking about how Duncan, you know how Duncan, he just pressures and he just kind of runs wild.
Yeah, and he makes runs sometimes that have no payoff.
Well, he was talking about how he was trying to get that out of his game, basically, right? To where he just runs around causing abandon, and then he really can't make it past the 65th minute because, you know, he's dead by then. But I don't know, Duncan. I think Duncan, that's how he plays, though, man.
I haven't really seen any change from him in that anyway. I don't think
he can get that out of him, bro. Like, and almost all his goals come from chaos. Like, yeah, if you really look at it, almost a lot of his goals come from, even back in college, when he turned it on, a lot of his goals come from pure chaos, just some crap that Duncan did. Had nothing to do with who fed him, had nothing to do with anything else, but Duncan just did some dumb crap and it paid off for him. You know what I mean? Pressured somebody into a mistake, ran after something that he had no chance of getting, and he ends up getting it. Then he scores a goal. Like, and I think sometimes there's a tendency of overcoaching. And I'm not saying necessarily Oscar's doing that right now because I'm not in their practice. I don't know what they do. I'm just going off of what. And that was something I heard said on the broadcast last season, right? And you can see it progressively getting worse. And I've heard Oscar make a couple comments who were saying they're trying to get him to calm down and this, that, or whatever, and, you know, pace himself more. You know what I mean? But to me, that dude's more effective when he is just out there for short minutes, whether it's 60 minutes, 55 minutes of him just running to hell and back. You know what I mean? Whether it seems pointless or not, he seems to thrive in chaos. And a lot of what saved us last year was our tactics were always hell. They've been trash, right? In attack is a fact. And nothing turned around until he came. And I said it one time then that our offensive tactics are never going to thrive for, and Eddie used to say it all the time as well, are never going to let a striker thrive. And then I said, Duncan is probably the perfect striker for a coach like Oscar because the goals he scores are not coming from your tactics. They're coming from just, you know, bull in a china shop, basically. You know what I mean?
Crosses that aren't going to work, but he makes them work.
Yeah, he just creates things on his own. So once you take that out of his game, and now you're trying to take that out of his game and then make the tactics work for him when he was, yes, he was working for himself. You know what I mean? They use a wrestling term, going to goes into business for himself. He does. But that's what works for him. You know what I mean? That's what's always worked. So I don't know if it's wise to try to take that out of him. Just was, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
So how can we feed that, Cleon? Like, honestly.
Well, I mean, we can't do nothing. But, I mean, all I'm saying is basically just they just have to let him go, to me. Let him do his own thing.
Because that's
what's proven to work. So you know what I mean? He gets himself tired. And at this point, you got two strikers, which you're only supposed to have one anyway. So who cares if he gets tired by the 50th minute, 60th minute? Because you got to take him out there anyway.
Yeah, just don't let him get injured so that way we can still sell him because he doesn't really want to be here anyways. So,
you're not wrong.
Well, last question then is just a fun one. That'll be quick. We got from Chris. Is it time to stop honoring thy history? off to a bad start this year. Are we just honoring the start to MLS by being bad? If that's the case, Chris, yes. It is time to stop honoring thy history. I just thought it was funny.
It's making me question if I should buy the kit. Don't get me wrong. I'll buy the kit, but.
So I don't know. While I had my dad up here, he went MIA for a little bit while at halftime. He's like, yeah, I just need to run to the bathroom. I was like, all right. And then he came back and he got me the Mitchell and Ness varsity jacket, which I'm absolutely in love with. And Dad, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. I'm still mad that he bought it because of the fact that they're so expensive. But like, I love the history with everything with it, and obviously all the awesome stuff with the old school logo. It's absolutely gorgeous. But yeah, as far as history goes, you know, I have the kit too. You know, I have the jacket to go with it. I'm not getting rid of those at this point. Like, I got them, but I'm with you in the reluctance to wear them at this point, because man, we just need to win in the worst kind of way.
Maybe don't have the players there that honored thy history, but also had some history. I don't know. It's
if a player got kicked out of Epcot.
Dang it.
Right, Cleon?
There's that, but there's also the fact that the history doesn't include MLS success. Like, we didn't trot out any players that won us the U.S. Open Cup other than Janssen. Everyone else won a USL championship. That was 10 years ago. I appreciate the history. I'm glad we hung the banners, but onward and upward. You got to move up. You got to look for the bigger goal, which at this point, it's not. I know we're all sad. The supporters are boycotting the League's Cup because we missed the Open Cup, but we got to look bigger. We got to look for a supporter shield. We have to look for the MLS Cup. And considering where we're sitting, not a good look.
I mean, right now we're looking.
We got 15 minutes, bro. You just brought that up, and I forgot all about all that mess, man.
We're not honoring thy history by getting trophies. Before Mike says it, we're honoring thy history by challenging for the wooden spoon.
Yeah, I'm talking about the whole League's Cup, U.S. Open Cup, all this drama. Oh my god, how did we not write this into the show, bro?
Because I thought you guys talked about it last week, and I didn't listen last week.
I wasn't on last week. For me, I missed that, but I had some stuff to say on that.
I mean, go for it, man. Feel free to go ahead and rip.
I'll echo you after you go off. Please go, please,
bro. Let's keep it a buck. Why are so many MLS Twitter fans up in an uproar about, oh my god, we're not going to open, bro? Nobody showed up to Open Cup in the first place. I've never seen people argue so hard for something they did not want to show up to in the first place. Bro, every single Open Cup game match from the beginning has looked like, no shade, like an Orlando Pride match.
At least we play ours in an actual soccer stadium.
I'm talking about like 2020 Orlando Pride match. That's what all our U.S. Open Cup matches look like, bro. Like, and it's not just us. This is around the whole league. Like, I don't understand. People are talking about, oh, boycott. I don't see what the League's Cup got to do with the Open Cup in the first place. They boycotting that thing because they don't control it. Point blank, period. So just be like for me, I want to play in all the matches. because any chance for a trophy, I want that chance. You know what I mean? So I want to see him play in MLS. I want to see him play in Open Cup. I want to see him play in Leagues Cup. I want to see him play in Champions League. I want to see him play in playoffs. I want to see him play in all of them, right? So for me, I was disappointed we weren't playing in Open Cup. But because I want to see us play in all the cup trophy and all the cup tournaments. So I'm not going to turn around and then my mom used to say there's an old school. I know I'm a lot older than everybody on here, but she used to say, you don't cut off your nose to spite your face. And that's what I feel like a lot of people are doing. It's like, oh, I'm so upset we don't get to see us play in this tournament, so I'm going to boycott the other tournament too. Like, what is the point of that?
Can I answer your question?
Yeah, please.
Here's the thing. I agree with you. I want to watch as much soccer as humanly possible. I was sad that Orlando didn't play last weekend, and we'll get to that in a sec, but I want to see us play in as many tournaments as possible. I went on Broken Herons and said, hey, I don't care if we're boycotting or having this MLS issue with Open Cup. It's still a great tournament. It's the oldest tournament in North America. It has history. You should play in it. And I don't care if MLS has created this new tournament, despite the money grab feeling of it all and what it's done to the schedule, we should play in it. But at the same time, we need to look at the schedule and say, hey, who cares if there's only 29 teams in the league and we don't have enough teams to play. Thank God for San Diego next year coming in and making it 30. So there's no excuse for, oh, one team has to sit out a week. Let us play. But at the same time, change the roster rules for the love of God. Make it so that we can build rosters that can sustain these longer schedules. The Premier League's been doing it forever. Most of Europe does it. Let us play more soccer, but let us build up our bench with good players that can get in there when we're not playing league games. And that's what I want. I'm sick that we had this long stretch where we were in CONCACAF, we were in MLS, we had two games a week and we looked exhausted. That's what killed us. Like, honestly, like, we don't have the tactics, but it's still killing us. But we had tired players. And now we didn't play for 14 days. I had to sit through a whole weekend without it. And now we're going to go play DC. Who's setting these schedules up? Let us play. Let us figure out how to do the schedules properly so we can do both Open Cup, Leagues Cup, and MLS play. I know the Leagues Cup is a big money play. I know it's Apple. I know everyone's hesitant about that, but the supporters need to forget about that. They need to forget about the fact that the Open Cup, we should play in the Open Cup. It might happen next year, but get behind the club. Don't give up on them despite the fact that the league is creating something else. It's not about the league. It's about the club. So figure out the schedules, but also let us play more soccer and do it with players we can pay. I'll get off my soapbox now.
You're good on the soapbox. I will say that I know that there's league ownership meetings that have been going on, I think, in California this week, where they've been voting on potential roster changes. So realistically, we might hear something relatively soon in regards to that. I know
you change it mid season because that's going to send me over the edge.
Well, dude, you can't sit here and asking them to make changes and then be mad when they make the changes. Come on now.
Don't make changes. No, I know that, but don't make it mid-season when we could have made changes, when we could have done better in CONCACAF.
Hey, look.
That's what I'm saying.
A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, bro. That's another old people saying for you.
I never understood what that one meant, but
that means
shout out to the birds and
you
the bushes.
Got a bird in your hand. It's better than, oh, it's two in the bush. You ain't got the two in the bush. They in the bush, but you don't have them.
So you're going to be okay.
Don't let go of the thing you got in your hand to go chase something else because it might be better. Because you might end up with nothing.
So let me ask you this. What would you rather have? Better players in CCC going into the season or a better half of MLS the rest of the year?
Hey, look, I can tell you right now. I've been playing Football Manager for a good month now. Right, and I fixed it all. I fixed it all. I got it all.
Academy set. Players and everything.
No, I got academy. I got it all figured out. I removed all the rules. I removed all the MLS rules, and you know what the cap is now. And I already know what the cap should be. And there's science through it. I didn't just make up this number. It should be $43,400,000. That's the cap. No DPs. That's your cap. That's what everybody has. That's it. And you know how I got this number. I go from the salary cap number, what it's supposed to be at the end of the CBA, and then I found the three biggest contracts in MLS history and put them all like they all are one team. And that's your cap. $43 million.
I give you respect for figuring that out. I don't have the time for it, but I wasn't expecting a Football Manager rant to get in here, but you know, now we got there.
Here we are.
I will say, obviously there was a bunch of anonymous surveys for like soccer leadership. So like chief soccer officers and stuff like that came out. I'm talking about like the Open Cup, 20 out of 30 chief soccer officers said that they wanted to win, though they wanted to play in the Open Cup.
You know what? Let me stop you real quick. You know what's funny about that, Mike?
What?
20 out of 30, right? Mm-hmm. And three of them were no comment, right?
Three of them were no comment. So that's 23 out of 30.
How many Canadian teams we got in the league?
Very funny point. Three,
right?
Very funny point. Yeah.
We got seven left. How many teams are actually represented at that board that made that vote? Seven.
Interesting.
They literally did that unilaterally by themselves.
I'm going to go ahead and put the tinfoil hat on Cleon here.
What's that tinfoil? That's mad, bro.
No, that's but that's you're conspiracy theorizing just a little bit.
That's literally mad. If 20 people said they didn't want it and somebody voted on it, right? Only seven people on it. They already told you how many people's on the board. Seven.
I know.
Seven voted. Interesting. Seven voted they didn't want to do it.
I will say one of the quotes in the Athletic article 100% sounded like Luis Muzy. There was a quote that was basically like, I mean, we want to play for trophies. Like that's the objective. Like why can't we do that? It's basically what the gist of it was.
It makes no sense. It makes no sense because if you don't want to play, you don't. It made no sense. You wanted to send your B team? You literally could have did it. What's the problem?
Yeah.
All them scrubs at the end of our bench and never play, all them kids that can't play, send them all over there. You send them all over there. Boom. Done.
Jack Lynn wins an Open
Cup. Uniform. It's in your uniform, but it's still – you didn't want to play. You didn't have to play.
So wait, you can be – oh, man. But, yeah, I mean, as far as the scheduling congestion goes, and just kind of to bring everything full circle, because I'm wrapping up that side of it, wrapping up the scheduling congestion side of it. I know part of the reason why everyone's so upset about the scheduling is because the fixture congestion problem is an MLS-created problem. If they didn't create the League's Cup, there wouldn't be fixture congestion issues. At the same time, though, for me, I don't like looking at the League's Cup as an excuse for it, because the League's Cup, we stopped the whole damn season to have the League's Cup. Like, that shouldn't be a problem. Like I just don't understand the notion behind it. I'm still sitting here saying I don't understand why we don't observe FIFA international breaks. That's my biggest gripe out of all of this.
That's what I was saying. Because we had the FIFA window a couple weeks ago, and we're playing. Yeah, we did well, but do you want that as a label for why you did well versus, oh, your team didn't play for 14 days because there's only 29 teams in the league and you have to take a bye? I don't know. It's something that's the bye thing is going to be solved next year. San Diego is going to come into the league, but it doesn't change the fact that we have this congestion and we're going into the summer where, yeah, we're playing 5 matches in the next 5 weeks. Mike, this is your transition, but we still have a bunch of weekday matches coming up.
Yeah, those weekday matches will start after this next five weeks where we have 5 games. Then we have like a midweek against Miami, which shout out for the scheduling on that. Really appreciate the fact that, that's a rivalry game being midweek, but it's a lot of things coming up here. But I think that we added some extra topics in here and riffed on other things a little bit longer than we expected to. So I think we'll probably go ahead and start to wrap things up, and let's go ahead and do some shout outs. Our favorite time of the day. Cleon, you got a shout out for me?
Yeah, bro. I got nothing. So I'm gonna shout out my dentist for the pretty smile. You know what I mean? Bro, don't play around with weights, people. Don't do it. Don't play around with weights. That's all I'm gonna say to you. Don't play around with weights. Don't toss them up in the air and don't catch them and let them hit you in the mouth, because you're gonna be missing your whole front end. So
that's got you fixed up good though. Got you fixed up good. That's what matters.
Yeah, looks good.
I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna completely undermine everything that Alex just said. I'm gonna go ahead and shout out MLS for scheduling. Because they ended up scheduling us a bye week during WrestleMania, which made me super happy, because that means I didn't have to focus on Orlando City. I didn't have to focus on Orlando City letting me down while I was also trying to focus on Cody Rhodes finishing the story. Because if Orlando City lost and then Cody Rhodes didn't finish the story, now your boy would have been depressed. Your boy would put that finger down. Put that finger down. You do not. We ain't acknowledging Roman here. Nuh-uh. He lost. He got the L. You got the elf. No final boss. Yeah. And then Alex, go ahead and I'll toss it over to you for shout outs.
Well, that was all Greek to me. My shout out is first of all to all 6 members of this or 5 members besides me of this podcast. You guys were really great to me. The shout out you gave to me and Kayla a couple weeks ago, and the flowers you delivered. It's been a tough couple weeks here. Kayla had some major surgery. I won't get into it, but major surgery that she had to, she's been recovering from for multiple weeks. And just shout out to her. She's a real champ. She's handled it with grace. And you guys have been very kind to us, giving me the space to kind of take a break from the pod, but also loving on us through the chat. And just, you guys were the first flowers that were delivered. We got a lot of flowers delivered, and you guys were the first ones. So really appreciate that. That meant a lot to us. And also, in the fantasy chat, shout out to Zach. Because of the surgery and everything that was going on, this was the first year I didn't get to go to the home opener since 2015. He still got me the home opener poster. I haven't put it up yet. It's not up there yet. It's actually sitting right here. and I'm going to put it up for next week's show. So shout out to you guys. Shout out to our tight-knit community, and I really appreciate you guys. And also, happy Masters Week.
Bro, that just reminded me, bro. Speaking of title changes and all this, bro, did Matt ever send Graham his belt?
Well, we got to talk to Graham and find out. If not, you have to yell at Matt.
He didn't show up to your house at the middle of the night and demand it?
Oh, no, that was me when I won my championship.
I know that. That was the joke.
I didn't have it. I didn't have the belt. Matt had the belt.
That's true. Matt did have the belt, so we'll have to check with Matt. But
I never saw Graham.
What are the three leagues? It's Manscaped One.
It's only two. It's only two. Ain't three. Hey. Slowly too much dip in the chip right there.
We don't got that many tiers.
I want three tiers. Come on. It would be fun. We got a lot of time between now and NFL season when the Bears draft Caleb Williams.
Two leagues set up, bro. Nah. Too much.
All I'm hearing right now is Ryder just said he's taking Caleb Williams for this first pick.
Yeah, which
two leagues yet?
I owe an apology to someone in the chat about that, but that's a whole nother story for a whole nother time.
All right. Well, then, guys, with that being said, let's go up to DC, get this dub, turn the season around. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe, follow us on Spotify, YouTube, all that different stuff, Instagram, Twitter, all these different sites. Appreciate you guys as always from the Orlando Lions Den. Vamos, Orlando.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Orlando Lions Den podcast. Don't forget to follow us at Orlando Lions Den on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. See you next week in the Den.